the all-pervading presence of the Supreme. Na, na means not, and ma, what is, what is not. So, speaking about illusion, abandoning illusion, focusing on the spiritual origin of everything, abandoning all illusion. Bhagavate, the word is broken up. It is broken up in three syllables. It's like Ba, Ga, and Va. It is that, that is short for Bhajaniya Guna Vasistha, which means that one who has irresistible qualities. So the all-pervading supreme, for whom we give up, when we give up all illusion, we realize his irresistible qualities, and he is Vasudev. He is Krishna. In this way, we begin the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is fruitless to see and talk of the material modes of nature and their resultant so-called happiness and distress as if they were factual. When the mind wanders during the day and a man begins to think himself important, and when he dreams at night and sees a beautiful woman joining with him, these are merely false dreams. Similarly, the happiness and distress caused by material senses should be understood to be meaningless. So, here we have a verse of the Bhagavatam, which is describing reality as a dream. So that is kind of unusual. I mean, we are feeling, you know, this is the physical, the world. If you can see it, you believe it. Show it to me, then I believe it. If I can see it, I believe it. But here it says, seeing doesn't mean the truth. When we see, we may be under the influence of illusion, and as a result, we may not actually see things as they are. We're seeing the body, and we're seeing, oh, it is beautiful. Oh, it is. But that's only relative, because under the skin, it's not so beautiful. That's inside, in the house, that's all. That's not what we want to see. So it's relative. The beauty in this world is always relative. You see a beautiful lawn. It is just flowers on it, and it has nice trees, frangipanis with sweet fragrance. Oh, that's a beauty. Yes. But what if you would have microscopic eyes? What if you could see the small reality? That peaceful lawn suddenly turns into a jungle. And in that jungle there are animals that are dressed up like tanks and insects. Right? Have you seen the insect world? That's a heavy world. Right? One walks up with the leg of another as if it's nothing. So it's Kurukshetra, it's a battlefield, actually. It looks peaceful, but in another dimension it does not. So what is reality, really, in the world? Everything is so peaceful, he looks so peaceful, but the worms inside his body, they're eating him alive. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you know, these shocking kinds of facts and figures, statistics, and so on. But I'm just trying to pop the bubble for a moment. Just for one moment, bring it down to a more neutral state. When we see, oh, everything is beautiful, everything is wonderful, it's because we want to see it like that. This is wishful thinking. We project that, because if we live in this world, it's never all wonderful. There's always the two sides, actually. Sometimes one side predominates, and when the good side predominates, it's all wonderful. And I hope nothing's going to go wrong, kind of thing. Yeah. Because we know. So in this way, we must understand that the wise and the sages, they look at the world in a deeper manner. They are not so enamored by the glitter of matter. Glitter, glitter, glitter. So much glitter in the world. So there is something deeper. The material world, if there is happiness and stress, that's clearly it. No matter what you do, you can't escape it. You work so hard to be happy, and still, it's not only good things that will come, but happiness and stress. So, a neutral person, one who is not swept up, oh, we are swept up. Oh, that is beautiful, beautiful. Oh, that is terrible, that is terrible. Oh, no, oh, yes, oh. Such strong responses to the movie, to everyone that's playing. But someone else who's a little detached is seeing, like, well, the movie has its moments, you know, where everything is sweet, and the movie has its moments where everything is not sweet. So, one who's intelligent can understand what the world is like and sees the bigger picture, not just the moment. I forgot myself completely in the moment. It was just wonderful. And then I forgot myself completely in the moment. It was miserable. But yes, moments are like that. See, and we live for the moment. Therefore, the first thing we do when we get to spirituality is to see beyond the moment. We're getting the broader picture, the bigger picture. The picture of what does it look like over time? That's intelligent. Because you know. You say, well, yeah, but maybe I'm lucky. Yeah, maybe you're lucky, maybe you're not lucky. Who knows? So far, so good or so bad. You can say, we've been lucky all the time so far. Therefore, the wise and the sages are seeing that this world is not a place to stay. We are not at home in this world. I'm at home, you know, my home is really comfy and I like it. Yes, okay, you may. But what is the guarantee that it will stay like that? What's the guarantee? Last time I was in South Africa, there was xenophobia, yeah? And it was really cooking. And just over the hill there is a township of foreign Africans. And there was, at night, there was a whole scene where a gang of people stormed on that village, and the police station is up the hill here. So hundreds of people from that village were running up the hill for shelter to the police station. Then home sweet home was not so sweet anymore. Yeah. So I am not trying to give a pessimistic view at all. No, I'm trying to give a realistic view. That's what I'm speaking about. I say there are beautiful things, wonderful things. Durban has many nice features. I like the beachfront, blue ocean. I like it. But not the sharks inside the ocean, not so much. For example, I mean, they're okay, but not too close if possible. And things like that. Lions are good for movies, but in real life, it's not so much. Yeah. So, in this way, what to do? We become realistic. So, the Bhagavad scripture about the Supreme Word. It's a mirror. It's a mirror that we hold up to ourselves. That's why I wanted the book. I wanted the mirror. Because without the mirror, how can we see? One verse from the Bible. A mirror, and we look at the mirror. And when we read, we see that the material world is a place which is described in Scripture as dukkhaayam asaswatam. It says it's temporary, say the sages, and have misery. Yeah, but what about the enjoyment? It's enjoyment, it's beautiful. Why are you so negative? Just see, there are some sweet, sweet things. True, but they don't last. Anyway, you know, just go with the flow. Enjoy it while you can. Yeah? I mean, you know, just have a good time as long as it lasts, and then you find something else good, and then you have a good time again. And that's the secret of life. Be positive, find the good things. Okay. But the wise say, you know, time causes a change of body. Days mean that they come on, you and come on. When you were a kid, remember? Oh, God. Oh, wasn't it wonderful? Well, I wasn't only wonderful. No. So much fun at all. Yeah, but when you were a kid, remember, you always wanted to be grown up. You couldn't wait, You're never old enough. No, you can't do this, man. Take it out of your hands. Because you want to do it yourself. No, you're too small. You can't do it yet. And then finally, you're always too young. Too young for everything. God, no, sorry. Kids are not allowed. Too young. Oh, God, I'm too young. Oh, God. Trying to look old. See if they let me in. Movies, you know, that for above your age. Oh, God, all these things. So frustrating. Try and look old. Okay. The guy at the door says, I'm old. 17. Okay. I am at 14. Oh, God. To be too young, it's too much. But then, you know, then suddenly you're 18. Then you're 19. And then you're 20. You're too old. You know what I mean? Suddenly you're too old. You're 20. Oh, my God. You're 20, right? Isn't it, Nima?
It's only 19, just turned 19. My friend Nima is traveling with me.
And now, you know, it's dawning, you know. God, old age is near. Almost 20. I mean, 20, over the hill. No, definitely, too old for some things, you know. I mean, there's an in-crowd, right? In-crowd, and they don't deal with people of 20. You know, they don't talk to them. They're too old. And then it's downhill from there on, sorry to say. But 25. Your due date is up soon. 25. That's old. 26.
26.
30. 30. Hide it. Just act as if it didn't happen. You have to develop a philosophy. Yeah. A philosophy from youth begins at 40. You heard that one. It's a philosophy just to make you feel better. It actually, life begins at 40. That's what I need. You need a philosophy now. I have one too because I'm 62.
62, that's old.
At 60, you can still fake it. At
70, everybody knows it. At 80, you know, your kids, they start to help you, you know. You can't put your shoes on anymore. Oh, God. Yeah, they say, so I also have a philosophy on my doctor told me, and I liked it. He said, 60 is the youth of all age.
There you go.
It's going on, yeah. Makes me feel better. I forgot the old age part, out of convenience. At least there's some youth. Some youth of all age. It sounds poetic and good. In this way, we gloss it over. We gloss over reality. But reality is there. It is happening to everybody. And in this way, so the sages are neutral. They are not pessimistic. They're just looking at it like in a neutral state of mind and say yes. But ultimately, they're suffering because you lose it. You know, you're going to lose it. Okay. Now, there was a movie of these two beautiful Hollywood type of people. And they came home. He was athletic, broad-shouldered, wearing a smoking. She was wearing an evening gown, and she had all the right medals in the right places, if you know. And then, as they came home, they kicked off their shoes. First thing, he had four plateaus in his shoes, and he became like, well, centimeters shorter on the spot. He was not as tall as he was before. You know, then, you know, they pulled off their wigs. He was bald and she had a miserable hair. And, like, he took off his jacket with his false shoulder fill on. And as he let the belly strap go, and the thing came out, she let the air out of the balloons. And at the end, there is two old people sitting in bed, and their teeth are smiling at you from a glass of water. That's a good movie, I tell you. I forgot the name of the movie, unfortunately, so I can't produce it on YouTube, but it's there. It is out there. There was something. So, what to say? That happens. That happens to everyone, little by little. You know, I mean, that motorcycle accident and that steel plate, you know, and that rabbon tooth that broke on the stone. You know, little by little, you know, it all goes. I used to think that people with glasses came from another planet. There's a planet where people wear glasses, and I thought, they're strange. There's some sort of extraterrestrials. And then at 35, I sort of, something happened to my eyes, and now I've got them too, you know. I'm an extraterrestrial. What are these strange people with glasses? It happens to all of us. So in this way, we can see that there are laws of nature at work, right? And it's just, we're for a moment not glossing it over. For a moment, we're not like trying to ignore that. The youth of old age, oh, I'm still young. It also means old age is there. It's it. I just read the small letters, the youth of old age. Old age, me. I can still do everything. Yes, you can. Up to a degree. Like before, I would have ran up the stairs to join Sabasachi's Sakirtan and would have jumped the highest of everyone. Now I thought, well, let it go. That's just, so that's realism. That's the way it is. So, look at the material world with sober eyes. And that is what the Bhagavatam is saying. and understand that the material world is not the perfect place. There is another world. That world is the spiritual world. And that world, in the spiritual world, the body is made not of flesh, blood, and bones, and all these substances. There the body is made of pure, blissful consciousness. Therefore, spiritual bodies are always just blissful.
Well, you can't say that of the material body,
is it? At least, I don't know how yours is, but usually we have to ask people in the morning, how are you? Are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay, I guess. I'm all right, you know.
And, are you okay from head to toe? Or is there somewhere on the way something that's not okay? Yeah. I mean, how does it feel to sit on those plastic chairs?
Okay. Is it?
They're okay, okay.
Are they okay, okay? Or would you like something soft and cushy? Maybe.
Sofa. Pull up your sofas, guys. And all we got is plastic chairs. So it's not ideal.
If you have a plastic chair, you can sit on it for a long time. You can try different positions. You can turn it around. Backwards, lean on the front for a while.
There is also chair yoga.
Chair yoga. Oh, yes. You can bend over on your chair. You can hang down.
Yes.
Instead of the legs down, you put the head down and the legs up. Chair yoga. There are books about it. I have seen them. I even know people who do it. Be careful, though. You need an instructor. It might just break your neck. Yeah. Who in the world sits up and down on the chair upside down? Isn't that a bit awkward? It's yoga. It's either yoga or crazy. One of the three. Does that mean that yoga is crazy? It depends. Everything is crazy. It depends on your perspective. Did you see these advertisements of this bank, the HSBC Bank? And they're good advertisements. They have these boards, and it shows like tennis shoes, some sort of tennis shoe type of shoe, some sneakers, and it says free time. And then it shows like office shoes, and then it shows like, work. But then it shows like the same pictures, and for a tennis player, he wears a sportsman, it's work. And then he goes out with his fancy shoes to some disco or whatever, and that's leisure. So it shows the relativity of things. Really interesting. Interesting advertisements. I really like that. Because it shows that what is good, what is bad, depends, Like, when you're Indian, you go like chili, yum yum. I guess when you're African, you go like, ooh, chili. Like, who eats flames? But every Indian, chili. Yum yum. So it's all relative. The experience of happiness is relative. Someone said, someone wears a pink sweater and thinks it's the greatest thing in the world, and others go, horrible. Yeah? It's relative.
So what is actually enjoyable? What is happiness? Relative also.
So in this way we look at the material world. But the spiritual world is absolute. There is no relative happiness. Are you okay? Well, relatively. I'm relatively okay. Yeah, I guess I'm okay. I'm okay. I've got a sniffle, but I'm okay. In the hospital, legging plaster thing. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm great.
Because I'm okay.
Fine.
It's so nice to be in the hospital, you know, and get so much attention, someone told me. He said, I really like being in the hospital. Everybody's nice to me.
Okay.
You can go, I ain't go. So, I avoid those places like the plague, the hospital, forget it.
Underdeveloped place, you know. It's no healthcare. Well, can you believe it? Yeah.
Spiritual world's underdeveloped place, no healthcare. You know, in the spiritual world, nobody works. You know, it's the unemployment rates 100%. Spiritual world, no healthcare, 100% unemployment rates. I tell you, it's like a series of them. So, what to do? So we're looking now into the spiritual dimension.
And I guess that's the theme of this retreat, the spiritual dimension. A little by little, we'll enter more into that aspect. And slowly, we're shifting the energy. First, the energy was on the material side, but slowly, we're going to go on the spiritual side. Yesterday, I started out on the material side by giving some purport to the world and the nature of exploitation. Today, I didn't take it to the social level. I took it to the personal level and to a sober description or a sober analysis of our personal experience, happiness and distress both. And then we begin to touch upon the spiritual world. So, more and more, we want to focus on that. The spiritual world is the reality. That is really what's going on. Everybody is inclined to look for some heroes. Right? That's why we have famous musicians, famous people. They adore them. Yeah? It's like even now there are still people imitating Michael Jackson. That's really true. It's amazing. I go somewhere and see some guys doing the Michael Jackson. Even now, quite famous. Yeah, he was famous. And even after he did, because people are looking up to idols, whoever it may be. But they all have their imperfections. Then there is a scandal. Some scandal, like the idol is exposed. Some scandal, scandalous news, and everyone's talking, I always knew it. He's a rat. He's actually a rat, It all comes out, truth comes out, and it's confirmed again, It's all a hoax. He's actually a rat. So that's the world. That's what happens with material idols. They are not perfect. But the tendency to look for the perfect person is in us. The perfect person is Krishna. He is Krishna. That is actually, therefore everyone is actually looking for Krishna. And once you come to Krishna, then it's not boring. It never gets boring. Hi folks, and here we are in the Hare Krishna temple, and now we're going to worship Krishna forever. Forever? Can't we do something else tomorrow? Oh, we do some variety, please. Don't worry, there is variety, because Krishna is unlimited. And it's always new. And it's the spiritual world. And in the morning, they go to the forest. Forest. Come to. Yesterday, we also went to the forest. And today, we're going to the forest. And we're going to eternally go to the forest. It's so difficult to understand. But that forest is not an ordinary forest. It's a spiritual forest, and therefore it's unlimited. It's full of unlimited variety. Because variety is what we want. Something different. That's why today we're going on an excursion. Because if you would sit the whole weekend here, that would be too boring. Wouldn't it? The whole weekend you sit in dirt. The whole time, the same place, the same plastic chairs. It is too much. Now, therefore, today, I'll tell you one thing. We're going to the cows. Yeah.
follow. People from Joburg, right? No concrete, no machines, guys. No. real life. None of all these, none of YouTube, no. Real cows, yeah. And real milk.
based on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness for you, I'd say, people who are just introduced to it. For us neophyte devotees, we understand the philosophy because we read and we hear from Vaishnavas and whatnot. But then for us to like explain it in such a way that they would understand it the way we would understand it, it's not so easy.
No.
So you find out that they ask about they comment on how those auspicious pastimes were that took place when Krishna appeared on the planet. And also they compare it with how they know about Jesus Christ as well. The past time that took place as well.
So Jesus Christ came for a particular mission. Yeah. You know, he came to bring people back to God consciousness, and he did that by doing miracles partially, and then by preaching and showing saintliness. But he gave standards of morality, saying this is okay, this is not okay, and he did miracles. Krishna, he also comes like in a human form, and therefore he's very close to us. When God comes in a human form in this world, he's very close to us. But then he also showed that he was not just human. He lifted a hill, for example. But he was in Kurukshetra. There's a battle in Kurukshetra, a picture from the Bhagavad Gita, and there's Arjuna, and Krishna is driving his chariot. And you know how old Krishna was when he's driving the chariot? Under 25 years old. He didn't look at it, eh? He didn't quite look at it.
Arjuna, wait, not so fast. He was not yet under 25 years old.
He was. He had grandsons and everything, but he was still looking fresh, like a youth, because he's above time. But Krishna was not like an ordinary person, very, very clear. Even when he was here, on this planet, he came for a short while to give a little taste of the spiritual world, where he eternally resides. No, we cannot understand that all at once. It takes time. But at the same time, everyone can feel, many people feel, that something is not quite right. When people say, you know, when you go to Disney World, we go to Disney World and there's Mickey Mouse and you get balloons, yay! And a party, yeah. You know, and we're all going to be happy. It's a little plastic. It's not entirely. The world is not Disney World. And if it's Disney World, something's wrong in Disney World. Something's wrong in Disney World. So that's the point. That many people in the material world, they actually are wondering, is this really all there is? Is this it? And therefore, it's not that we need to convince people so much about this philosophy. They actually are already convinced that there's something wrong with this material world. They really figured it out. Or with the outlook that the world is presenting to you. People already figured it out. We figured it out, and that's why we started looking for things. Then we came across this and we found answers. So it's like that. These books, they offer answers. We're not the body. That's profound. I never thought of that. But it makes sense. It makes sense. And Prabhupada had simple exercises. Went to this school and invited an inner school, kids of about 12, and says, like, who is the best student in this school? So they push one boy forward in a sort of a little glass. So Prabhupada said, can I ask you some questions? Yes, of course. So the boy is 12, and Prabhupada goes like this. He goes, what is this? And the boy looks at him like incredulous, you know. Does he think I'm 4? I'm 12. And he asks me this kind of a question. point of his own body. He says, this point, and what is that? He says, come on, what is it? He says, my nose. Well, boy, is it like a trip. And Prabhupada said, okay, my nose, my arm, my chest. And then who are you? If you're saying my, you don't say I chest, you say my chest, then who are you? That means you're separate from that. My chest. Who are you? You're the owner of the chest. You are not the chest. You're not the nose, not the eyes, the owner of it. We're not the body. We're the owner of the body. Well, that's something that makes a difference. That's really interesting. So, a lot of people are interested in that. I was, and I am now. It's not. What they're told. The world is deceived. World. We're all going to be happy. Happy Mickey Mouse. Good luck. Okay, it's enough. I think we'll stop. Thank you so much. So I don't know what's going on next, but I'm sure someone will talk.